keep a little practice the way of Dhamma. We like thinking about this practice. Monks and cults, and two others. They also like to hear about practice, even if they're not very skilled with it. They like to hear the way of practice from others who are skilled and who are able to teach the way of meditation practice. I want to say that this is because in the three worlds, that's the lower world, this world, the higher world, there is in these what I might call the sacred Dhamma. And the people who practice, they like the sacred Dhamma. The sacred Dhamma can be experience from talk on Dhamma by somebody who knows about it. The teaching of the Buddha, which is the Dhamma, which has come down to us from the Arahant, who learned from him, and from them to, from teacher to pupil, right the way down. This has the taste of Dhamma in it. When we hear this, the first people who practice, it gets into our hearts and we know it in our hearts. And we know that this is the nature of Dhamma. This Dhamma is a thing which teaches the world. It leads this world to what is good. It teaches this world to behave and act in proper ways. It's for this reason that the Buddha gave the saying, Kamman Saranam Gacchami. We go to the refuge, which is the Dhamma. However, the Dhamma, which is in the world, and the Dhamma which is in people, is not the same as the world, nor the same as people. Because in the world, there are many other things which are not the way of Dhamma at all. And two, although they exist together, they are of a different nature. Also, in people, one has not only the Dhamma, but you've got many things which are not Dhamma. But at the same time, they exist together in the hearts of people. Sanchan gave an example of this, and he said that bhikkhus live in the world, and they live in the world with lay people, and so on. But the bhikkhus are not lay people. At the same time, we have contact with lay people, and there's interchange between them. But we're not lay people. In the same way, the Dhamma is not the same as the world. When somebody attains a state of Dhamma, any of the higher states in Dhamma, some Chan was saying that it's not the way or humanly for them to announce it. To make it known, to advertise it. He gives the example here of Asaji, who was the first one to attain arahantship after the Buddha. One day Asaji was out on his begging round, and Upatissa, who later became Sariputta, saw him. And he went up to him and said, you look very clear and very gained something. Who is your teacher? So Asaji said, Asaji didn't announce that he was an arahant at all. He said, oh, my teacher is the Buddha. And so Sariputta asked him, saying, well, can you tell me the teaching of the Buddha? So Asajjhi said, well, I'm not terribly clever, but I can just give you something very briefly. And he said, all dhammas arise from causes. That one should see these causes and see their cessation as well. From this, Sariputta attained, I don't think it was enlightenment, but he attained one of the states below enlightenment, either Siddhartha or higher than that. But even then, when he had attained that, he may have realized that Asajjhi was an arahant then, but he didn't, Asajjhi still didn't say anything. And Sariputta didn't ask him, because it wouldn't have been proper to do so. There's another occasion also when somebody wanted to meet the Buddha, and they came to the place where the Buddha was staying, and they walked through, I think it was a monastery, and they walked through the monastery, and they actually saw the Buddha, and they met and just talked for a short while with him, but the Buddha never said who he was. I think they said they'd come to see the Buddha. And then the following morning he came again, and he saw Sariputta in Moggallana there. And he asked them about the Buddha, and they said yes, the Buddha is here. But they didn't sort of say where he was. And eventually he went up to the Buddha, and I think the story is he asked him then, where is the Buddha? And he said, I am the Buddha. He would ask directly. I think I wouldn't quite get it absolutely clear. But the point of the story was that even the Buddha didn't announce saying that he was the Buddha until he directly asked. Because it's not the way of those who attained some state, who attained even up to enlightenment, to make any claims at all. Not even to other bhikkhus, unless it is in order to do this. Unless there's some very good reason for it. If somebody should go there to a teacher with the full intention of practicing to attain nirvana, and if they should want to know, well, I wonder if the teacher has attained something or not, and if they would ask him whether he's attained enlightenment or whatever state he's attained, if he is a proper teacher, he will not say. He'll never say that he's attained. Most he will do is he'll give teaching which is right for that person, and it's up to them if they want to practice it or not. But to say what he was saying or anything of that sort is not the right. It's not the correct. So. He says, in the world, there are, however, many people who are very good at speaking, very good at talking, and who gain reputation as teachers. And often they're prepared to say that they've attained something, when in fact they haven't. Often through ignorance, because they don't know. And he said that people like this can be a great danger. He said that their speech is like a sharp knife, which is very dangerous. And he said that a sharp knife is just what the world is about without being under proper control. It's a very dangerous instrument. It should be kept in sheath, kept away from people. But on the other hand, those who in fact have attained something, even though many of them are quite incapable of teaching or saying, giving very good talks or anything of that sort, they never make any change at all. Yeah. I think that covers it. Anything else you need to mention? Yeah.